And welcome into In-Game Chat for Saturday, June the 15th, 2024. It is Season 18, Episode 21 now, and I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome into the show, everybody. If you want to get in touch with us, you know, it's going to be tough to get in touch with us, only for the fact that there is just a lot to talk about. You know, last week when we were doing this, there were some gaming things going on during the day before we even started the show. Then Sunday was a big day for game reveals and announcements. Then Monday was another game thing. So, we just have a lot to go over. Plus, I was looking... here, let me do this before we get too deep in the woods here. So let me get that out of the way. You know, normally I give you the spiel about, like, you know, here, go. In fact, ingamechat.net, that's where you go. That'll take you to our Twitch, our Discord, anything you need, ingamechat.net. That's got our YouTube. All of it is there. So there, that out of the way. I went to Steam on my browser here and was trying to find a way that I could figure out... is there a way it'll pull up? Now, I brought my Steam Deck with me. I've got the Steam app on my phone here. Anything I need, because I'm trying to make sure that I can see what I have played. Because I know sometimes we've been down this road before where demos and the like don't show up for some reason on some of my, on some lists or whatever. Oh, it's not showing up, that sort of thing. I'm good. What is interesting, though, is when I look at my activity on Steam, it not only shows what I've played for the first time or all that other stuff that I've been doing, it shows what I've added to my wish list. And if I could show you between the 7th, 8th, and 9th of this past week, how many games I have added to my wish list on Steam. Basically, that's how it worked for not necessarily Friday, but Saturday. Friday, I've got a couple of things in there. What day was the 7th? Because I am going to, let me go back and look. Get my, 7th was a Friday. Mm-hmm. So that must have been when I watched Day of the Devs. Mm-hmm. Day of the Devs followed by the Summer Game Fest. And we talked about this. And I added a bunch of stuff. Tenjutsu, Possessors, Phoenix Springs, Tom the Post Girl, Hello Again, Psychroma, Zookosis, Fear the Spotlight, Arranger, a role puzzling adventure, Kiora, Pedal Runner, Cairn, which we talked about. I'm going to see if that had a demo. I don't think it does. Store page. Hang on just a sec. No, there's no demo for that. I didn't think that there was. Cairn. So yeah. Simpler Times, Battle Aces, The First Descendant, Entoria, The Last Song, Unknown Nine, Awakening, Deer and Boy, and Tears of Metal I had added to the wish list. I will not go over the stuff that I added on Saturday and Sunday. The list is just massive. But I probably added over 100 games to my wish list. But that's how I was doing it, because if I saw something that was interesting to me, or had a little bit of interest to me, I was like, well, put it on your wish list. Mm-hmm. Then you can go back and look at it. If it gets a demo, you can do that. Steam Next Fest kicked off on Monday, which there was a lot of demos to try out there as well. So before we get into all of this, I want to find out what you've been playing, RJ.
Well, standard fare this week, more MLB The Show, working on my franchise. I'll play a little bit more Virtual Fighter 5. I had a nice little online match with an Aoi player against my
Jeffrey. Was it a what player?
Aoi.
Oh, the character.
AOI.
Okay.
Yeah, Aoi. Basically a countering specialist. So she'll let you know, especially if the player is skilled enough, if you're predictable or not.
Yeah.
And I was very predictable in the first round of that. I won the second round, but the second game, but the third game, the player won that one. So it was a 1-2 loss for me, best 2 out of 3. So I got to learn to not be so predictable, especially against this player. But that's what she's designed for. She'll let you know right off the bat if you're predictable or not, and I was. So that's why I lost that series. After that, a little bit more of Division 2. Got more progress in my character now that I can been boosted up to the ability to, the cap has been raised to level 40. I'm trying to build my way up to that and get some better weapons so I can be more effective. And for the most part, Elden Ring. Trying to get back into the swing of things with Elden Ring before the DLC drops on the 21st.
Yeah, I keep reading, or at least there's a thread in one of the forums where it's like, hey, you know, PSA, you need to have beaten these two characters in order to access the Erdtree content, the DLC content.
Shadow of the Erdtree.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have to beat these two guys. The two.
I want to say it's Moog. Moog in the blood, Moog in the bottom of the cathedral. I want
to
say that.
Those How early on in the game do you get to these two guys? Or these two? These two? I guess they're, are they bosses?
Boss battles, yeah.
How early in the game? Obviously, I know you can get to them. You can right at the beginning. You're just not
pretty quick. You can get there pretty quickly if you started from scratch. If you use a item that gets you to the Cathedral of Blood, but
you're not going to be ranked. You're not going to be equipped for it, right?
No, but that won't stop. That doesn't stop most folks. Because there's a way, people have been getting there before to boost their level up. There's a way to farm souls to get to level up quicker.
Right.
So they get there way underleveled. But if they're defensive enough and smart enough, they can get there. But I'm not familiar with there's two versions of Moog that you have to fight, and I can't remember how to get to him the second time, the one at the bottom of the cathedral. I can get to him at the Cathedral of Blood, no problem. That's pretty simple, just use an item. But it's been so long since I've fought him in that form, bottom of the cathedral, that I can't remember how to get there. But if I get enough walkthroughs or whatever, I can figure out how to get back there again and open up the DLC.
Yeah.
So. All right. So that's what I've been working on this week.
As far as what I've been mainline playing, which is Mad Max, I really took a break after Friday night. Last Saturday, I didn't play any of it Sunday, and then Monday through like the rest of the week, when I had time in the afternoon, I was playing demos. And I have a ton of demos to go over because there's a lot of games. And I'll tell you about one that you might like. So far, the demo, it needs work. It seems like it's early on. It's probably some sort of, I don't know who's doing the development on it, but it's called Tricky Madness, and it is SSX Tricky. That version. Like, to the point of collecting the big giant colored snowflakes that are hanging in the air when you're snowboarding, and you spell the word tricky when you're doing, massively, but it works. It took me a minute to get it, and the control, and to remember the controls as well. Like, the stick is one thing, but when you're in the air doing the maneuvers, it becomes shoulder buttons and directional pad.
Yeah. I think SSX was like the newest one. Was it 2013? No. Yeah, it's been a minute ago, but the most recent one that came out, the one that was on PS3, that one. I got to a point where the tricks, if you wanted the best tricks and the highest points, you had to hold that trigger button throughout the entire thing.
Yeah.
You had to hit it and hold it because that was the modifiers.
Mm-hmm.
You can get the plain tricks for one thing, but if you get the modified trick, you get more points. So you were just holding that button throughout every trick you were doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you wanted to let it go for variety's sake, I guess you could to stop the repeat trick penalty. But for the most part, yeah, you're just holding that trigger down, all the tricks you were doing.
There is a demo on Steam for Tricky Madness. It was not part of any of this in Summer Games Fest thing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I had added it way before here because I saw a thread. Somebody made a thread. Hey, if you like SSX or if you like, you know, SSX Tricky or whatever, try Tricky Madness, that sort of thing. And I added mm-hmm. it there and I just never got around to playing it. So I did. It's one track. That's it. You go from start to finish. When you're done, you have the choice to either quit or replay the track again if you want to. There's no characters to pick from. I mean, they do have or will have characters to pick from, but there's none to pick from. There's no boards to select. No track. It's just this. Now, there are multiple paths in that track, but there's rails you can grind. There's some...
Looks like a one-man project. Nathan Dearth?
Yeah, maybe. I really haven't researched it.
I'm looking at his page off based off of what I got from Steam. My name is Nathan Dearth. I'm a game developer based in Austin, Texas. Been making games since he was 11 years old.
All right.
Passionate about making games with exceptional performance and awesome physics. Projects Tricky Madness.
Huh.
Yeah. So is this a one man show?
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. I would not be surprised by it, given what I played.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, look, I think I've said before that if someone really wants something bad enough, they'll do some amazing things to get it. And, like, we wanted a remake of SSX. It's been too long since we've had a recent one, so people want it, are clamoring for it. Yours with Splinter Cell. I mean, you're not the only one who wants their Splinter Cell. So,
which, by the way, we got nothing on.
Mm.
Nothing. Yeah. Ubisoft came and went without any mention. Mm-hmm. We got a list of games that were kind of no-shows for this sort of E3 type of thing. So, and we'll get to that. But played Tricky Madness, and there was another one that made me think of you. I'll have to look at it. Hang on. Parcel Core.
Hmm.
Parcel Core. It is a bike delivery service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bike messengers?
Yeah.
However, it looks, plays, sounds very Jet Set Radio future or Jet Set Radio. I always think of future whenever I say it.
Something like that because I think the concept of bike delivery has been done before, but it was like basically obstacle course tricks and stunts while getting from point A to point B as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, things like that. A crazy taxi with a bike.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much like that. You can grind, you can do tricks in the air when you're jumping, you can, oddly enough, you can wall ride, sort of.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You can pop off cars.
Yeah, bike tricks, yeah.
Little things like that. Exactly. So I played that the other day for Parcel Core. I just go over, I mean, God. Let's see. All right, I'm going to go over some of these that I played. Lost and Found Company. It's a demo on Steam. I'm not big on, what are they called, hidden object games?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, Where's Waldo kind of thing. I'm really not big on those. Lost and Found Company pulled me in because it actually kind of is a Where's Waldo thing.
Mm.
The playground that you have to look through is massive and busy, and it's really cool to look at because all these little things are doing all their little bitty things in their own little world there, their own little microcosm.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have this overview of it to where you can look at it and you're trying to find these different things that they give you a list of. There's a story built in there, and there was so much talking just to get to doing that. I'm sure if I pay money for it, I'll read those words. But when I started the demo, I was like, man, stop talking. Just get me into your game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I know you're trying to set it up, but honestly, I want your gameplay. I don't want your narrative right now. I want your gameplay. You're a hidden object game. There's not much story you can build around what I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Find objects, click on them, move along.
Yeah.
You know? But there were, and it was interesting because there were sub-objectives. Like, you had an objective of, like, find these items. Mm-hmm. But then there were also sub-objectives of, like, can you find, you know, I don't know, some other little thing. Or they'll put a riddle in there and you've got to figure it out to see what it is.
Side missions.
Yeah, a little bonus objective for what you're doing. And look, for those of you who play a lot of hidden object games, I may be describing something that is just very basic. Like, oh yeah, all hidden object games have them like that. I don't know because I don't play them like that. So this is my first time playing that. But yeah. So yeah, Lost and Found Company was a good demo that I enjoyed. Mythmatch, which really is going to start my thing where my tongue gets in the way of my ethith because it says Mythmatch. Mythmatch. The myth part of it is because it deals with your Greek myths. But the match part is, you play as some Greek character, and I don't know, based on, you know, some Greek myth. And you're on a grid system. And when three objects that are the same are near each other within connecting boxes of each other on the grid, they combine to form something, to form one new thing. I wish I could give you more of an idea of what that is, but like, I'm trying to think how it all worked because it was, you know, three things of wheat become one piece of, you know, one loaf of bread type of thing. Oh. They would combine.
I thought it'd be a bigger bulk of wheat.
No. It's like three of those combine to make this. And then you can take the making of that, three loaves of bread combine to make whatever. But they're not food-based. They're more animal-based. Mm-hmm. So you would basically be doing that. And eventually they would, sometimes when you're playing it, you would have this almost chain reaction go off because the board may have just been filled up with all this stuff, but you hit one that turned it into a third that needed to be what that was. It turned into whatever. The other pieces started falling in and just boom, boom, boom across the board. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I wanted to put more time into it, but once I got down the idea of what it was doing, I was like, okay, move it on to the next one. Because I downloaded a ton of demos. Mm-hmm. A ton of demos. I tweeted about some of them on our account on in-game chat if you're kind of curious about what those are. The next one was a game called Desvelado. That you play a little bitty vampire who has to turn out all the candles in his castle before he goes to bed. And you do that just by zooming across in front of the candles they go out. However, there are other things in your castle that can relight those. So basically, it is a it's a platformer where, man, the controls are really good. It's very slick, very fast, very smooth. The jumps, I mean, everything is real tight and nice as far as the way it handles. Because I was zipping across different levels. It's basically one screen, and you've got to get the lights out off that screen in order to move on to the next screen. And there are ghosts that are in your castle. If they come across, they will light them back up, that sort of thing. And there's all kind of different power-ups, different different types of candles do different types of things. A regular orange flame is whatever, but a red flame gives you the ability to kind of boost a jump that you have, so you can reach a higher spot sort of thing. So you kind of had to play out where to use that, when to pick it up, because it's only there either it's not reserved. In other words, if I go across two of these reddish glowing candles, I don't have two of them. I still only have one, and I've used up one, you know, that sort of thing. So you really have to plan it out as to how you're going to do it. It's very fast-paced, or at least it plays seemingly fast-paced. But I really, really, really enjoyed it. The controls on that are great. If you like puzzle platformers, side-scrolling puzzle platformers is what that is. It's 2D. There's nothing else about it, but it's 2D platformer. Great. It was fantastic. Then I played the Tricky Madness. Then I played a game called, or at least one of the first things that I played was called Skim, I think. S-C-H-I-M. Skim? Skim?
Spell it again.
S-C-H-I-M.
Skim.
Skim? Shim? I don't know. Anyway, basically you play as a shadow. Mm-hmm. The art on this one is really, really nice. It's line art, mm-hmm. but it's really good. And you play as the shadow of this character. And I don't necessarily know what the story was behind it, but every now and again, you had to catch up to your character. In other words, you were left behind in some way. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can move about the level is into other shadows. So if you're outside of your shadow for a certain period of time, the level restarts because you're not supposed to be. Mm-hmm. But you look for other objects that are nearby that you can jump into their shadow, move, and then you can move within that shadow to get to a different part of the map and then jump into another mm-hmm. one and then move and then jump into another one.
Now, right off the bat, I'm thinking time of day. Is that a factor in your ability?
No, because it's all set. It's all static.
Okay.
This is not an open world time of day setting type thing.
Because I would think it would be interesting, at high noon, mm-hmm. this shadow is available, yeah. but...
This is more of a puzzle, type of, I got to figure out how to get from point A to point B. Okay. Now, the interesting parts is that you can jump into a car shadow mm-hmm. and move with it further mm-hmm. into the level, or somebody on a bike, or somebody who's walking. Mm-hmm. You can jump into theirs, mm-hmm. that'll get you closer.
Yeah,
get you closer to your objective, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. So there were interesting interesting things like that. It wasn't a very big demo. The art was really nice on it. I really enjoyed the art on that one. So mm-hmm. That was another one to look for. Contrast, yeah, that's not bad. Contrast is a good way to describe it. Because I played the whole thing, I'll say that I like Contrast better. Speaking of Contrast, Compulsion Games showed off their game at the Xbox Showcase, which we're going to go over. Mm. I'm not going to spend all my time talking about these demos that I played. But that was my first group. What else did I play? Kato, C-A-T-O, mm. is the name of the game. Mm. You play as a kid. This was great. I tweeted about this one, too, because I thought it was very clever. This is also a puzzle platformer. You play as a cat who can't jump. I can tell you that. The only way you can jump is when you have buttered toast on your back. And I know that sounds weird. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what the whole thing is, but it's like cats always land on their feet and toast always lands butter side up, right?
Close butter side down.
Or is it butter side down? Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Maybe that's what it is.
But in this case, I'm with toast, the worst case scenario.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So anyway, the way the toast and the cat works is that once you have the toast on your back as a cat mm-hmm. and you jump, mm-hmm. you can jump again and your cat will flip and he will go higher because the toast can't land as mm-hmm. it is mm-hmm. and the cat can't land on its back, so it has to land on its feet. So mm-hmm. you get this spinning thing going on mm-hmm. when you jump, and that gets you into higher parts of the level.
Yeah.
But then there are aspects to it because you can get the toast off your back as a cat, and your triggers or your bumpers on your controller control toast. I know this is weird.
We had a game called I Am Bread.
So yeah, I know.
Controlling toast is not... not new.
The toast basically just moves from one, flops over to one section or flops over here to solve different puzzles or something like that. In other words, there's times when you do need to be separate from the cat mm-hmm. in order to make things happen.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was all great. The demo's fantastic and fun, especially once you get the hang of it. So I suggest, if you like puzzle platformers like that, Kato, I'm not sure how it's pronounced, is fantastic. It really, really is great, and that's one I look forward to when it does release. Mm-hmm. Because I'm doing all this platforming, and once I get closer to the end of this demo, it changed. And I don't want to spoil how, mm-hmm. but it suddenly stopped becoming a puzzle platformer.
Mm-hmm.
And it just
Another
sort
genre?
of. Yes.
Okay, that's all.
Yeah.
It changes to another genre completely.
It does. And that totally made me think, oh, man, what other surprises are in this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just did, 15 different levels. And then all of a sudden, for the final level, it put me in this different position.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh, wow, this is neat. And so I had to tweet about it because I was so very impressed. I also played the game called Rika, R-E-K-A, Rika.
I want to say Rekka.
Or Rekka, that could be it. You play as a witch who is in the woods, and the witch is not evil, not, you know, one of those, I'm going to, you know, lure the children to my oven and eat them type of thing.
Mm.
It's a cozy witch game. You play as a witch in the woods. The first thing you do is help this dude fix his wagon by finding his wheel and putting it back on for him. So that's great. You go further in and you meet up with this other witch who then sends you out to say, hey, go collect all these different items. I need these. Then you do some weird ritual. There's all these big giant bones sitting around in this area. Mm-hmm. There's a stove and whatever. There's no walls or anything, but there's a floor and a stove and then there's these bones, and you do this ritual type thing. And all of a sudden your house becomes this giant chicken.
Okay.
I know. Basically, your house gets the legs of this bird, and I'm just going to say it's a chicken because you do something with the chicken in the thing in order to do the ritual. Yes, AC Wright said, is that the one where you work for Baba Yaga? And that's the one. You do all this ritual, and then suddenly your house has legs and can move. You control it, but it's giant. So, I mean, when your house stands up on its legs, you can see over the entire area, and then you can start moving. But the whole point of it, and I'm not sure exactly what the whole point is. It's all obviously fetch quests. But once you get to that point, you are allowed to start designing your own home that's going to be on the back of this bird. Right down to how you want the walls placed, which way, the roof, the decorations inside, different things like that. You're designing your own home that's on the back of this bird thing.
Mm-hmm.
Once I got the bird thing and everything else, I tried to mess around with some of the decoration parts, but the controls were being wonky on me. I wasn't, you know, it seemed like it was pretty early in a demo, in the development of the game or whatever. Slavic folklore is what AC Wraith is saying, is classic folklore. So all of that is based on folklore itself. It's not just somebody said, what if we had a house that was on the back of a chicken? Probably is in the folklore itself, I would imagine. But I enjoyed it. I think it has potential there if they can fix some of the controls. I think when it does become better playable, I think it can do what it's trying to do, which is basically just give you a nice little cozy home builder, but in a much different way.
Mm-hmm.
Than what we've experienced before in that regard. So anyway, I'm going to shut up about my demos and come back to those later because we got other games to talk about, and we got a break we got to take right now. And when we come back, we will talk about that. We'll dive right into the stuff that took place Saturday, Sunday, and Monday as well. Here is music from Umurangi Generation. The name of the track is called I Am Shoot. So, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Back in to In-Game Chat. It's a lot of chill music we have for this one. These are all from, I think, mostly recently released games. This one comes from Rains Beyond. A track called We Were Humans. Welcome back to the show, man. Ah, man, how do I go down this hole? Like, how do I even begin? Do I start at the Wholesome Games Direct? Do I start to the with the Indie IO Showcase? Do I just jump right into the Xbox? Why not? Why not jump right into the Xbox? Just go ahead and do that. Because it might spur more conversation here to talk more about that. Honestly, though, Microsoft did good. It was a good reveal for Microsoft. And I would say that they needed it to be good in the sense that the problem is it is good, but it didn't keep people from talking about all the studios they closed and the layoffs that came and everything else. They needed that to sort of kind of get people to talk about those, and people are. But yeah, it's
one aspect takes priority over everything else.
I know.
So
I know.
So they're looking at this thinking it better have been worth it.
I think it was for them. I think easily it was for Microsoft. So yeah, they opened it up with Call of Duty Black Ops 6, and it'll be on Game Pass day one. So far, no news yet about Game Pass being increased, but that's what they showed off, and it's Call of Duty. That's it. It's Call of Duty.
Yeah, I mean,
it's Black Ops 6, the same thing. So there you go. Like, as soon as it did, and then they said, hey, stay afterwards for our you know, Black Ops 6 Direct or whatever it was, another deep dive into it. I didn't stay for that. I stayed for the Starfield one last year, but I didn't stay for this Call of Duty one. We talked about this last week, how I'm not into Call of Duty, but they sure have made some amazing technical advancements. They've got some really good game. They make some good-looking games, is what I'm saying. Mm. I'm done with playing them, mm-hmm. you know, but they make some really good looking games.
Yeah.
First up was Doom, The Dark Ages. This was interesting. Basically it's Doom, but it's all in a setting that is more dark fantasy.
So we got Isekai Doom.
We got what?
Isekai. Basically travel to another world with the abilities of with your abilities from one world transferred to another world.
Uh-huh, yeah.
as an advantage. That's what sounds Doom the Dark Ages. That's what it looks like.
That's it, yeah. Lethal Migraine says that COD is free in Game Pass. Yes, it'll be Game Pass day one. You might as well play at least the campaign. Yeah, I mean, that's probably going to be something that happens. I probably will play the campaign because it's available now for free if I have Game Pass. I say free. I mean, I'm paying a monthly whatever to it. But yeah, if you know, when I'm subscribed to Game Pass and it's there, I probably will. Maybe. I don't know. Probably. I'm not sure. We'll see when it's released as to, you know, how that catches on, if it's, you know, worth doing. So, as much as I'm not a player of Call of Duty, the fact that it'll be in my Game Pass is kind of more of a tick to say that, yeah, okay, I may actually play it. They're not games that I devote a lot of time to. They were at one point, but that was way, way back on the 360. Not anymore. State of Decay 3 was shown off. We kind of got a leak about that one the day before that we knew we were getting State of Decay 3. Dragon Age the Veil Guard was unleashed. We knew we were going to be getting a Dragon Age game. We knew they were going to talk about the Dragon Age game. And we got that. And then we got a deep dive into the gameplay of it as well. I don't know. I'm not a big Dragon Age guy. I would love to know what people who are big Dragon Age folks think about what they saw with Dragon Age the Veil Guard. I don't know if it's divisive, but it seems to be giving people opinions as to whether they like the way this looks, plays, or if they prefer the old ways of Dragon Age games.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think some blurb about the direction it was going or something like that that got people talking about it. Not everybody's on the same boat with this one, though. So yeah.
Yeah. AC Wraith says the Dragon Age people I know are not happy. That seems to be the case. But watching the gameplay of it and not being a Dragon Age person, I thought, okay, this looks okay. Seemingly, I guess. It was like a third person adventure type thing. Although, God, it's been forever since I played a Dragon Age. I thought Dragon Age was a group team-based type thing. Not multiplayer online, but like you had, you know, different people in your party or whatever to go. And obviously I'm probably mixing that with Dungeons and Dragons. But still, I don't know. The gameplay of that didn't scream Dragon Age to me. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't consider myself a Dragon Age person to be able to really be confident in saying that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, this doesn't feel Dragon Age to me, but I don't play it enough, so I'm not sure if that's correct or not. Yeah, Lethal Migraine says, I thought Dragon Age was weird. It looked like they raided the Sea of Thieves character. Yes, there was something oddly familiar about it. And Sea of Thieves is a good way to put it, the way that the whole aesthetic looked. Very much like that. AC Wraith says you had more control over your party members in the earlier games. Why did you just light up? I didn't say your name. my phone. Like, oh, you rang? No, I never said the word once. AC Wraith says you had more control over party members in earlier games. I guess this new one has them act more on their own. Possibly. Expansion for Starfield, Shattered Space. I'm not sure exactly when that's going to release. It launches later this year. There's also a new free update for the main game going that went live last Sunday as well, which came with new content to explore. I have not loaded that back in onto my PC yet. Mm-hmm. I haven't put that back in and gone back into it or anything like that. Eventually I will, but not for now. Fallout 76, Skyline Valley, which was just more, you know, stuff for Fallout 76, a big map expansion. Gives you a new vault as well, and you can also play as a ghoul. Claire Obscure Expedition 33, which I'm just going to call it Expedition 33 from here on out. It featured the distinctive voice of Ben Starr, who also voiced protagonist Clive in Final Fantasy XVI. It's set in a pretty fantasy world with some epic vistas. The combat looks a little too QTE-ish for some, but if you're on the lookout for a new fantasy game, it might be worth keeping an eye on. I was. I liked what I saw in that. QTEs don't bother me. I actually like QTEs.
Yeah.
I'm very fond of them.
Look, if you want a way to get through combat simply, you can do it like in Senua's Hellblade,
mm-hmm.
or you could throw it in QTE.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like QTEs. I really, really do.
You don't have to remember control setups and layouts, just know left, right, up, and down. Or buttons on your controller. Yeah.
Yeah. South of Midnight was shown off. That's Compulsion Games. We were talking about Contrast earlier. Compulsion Games, they did Contrast. And then after that, they did We Happy Few, I think. And then after that, it is South of Midnight. We got a little teaser for this last year, and now we actually have gameplay this year. So, gameplay-wise, it looked like a road we've been down countless times before. Understand that I'm not talking about the visuals of the game. I'm not talking about the music or the settings or any of that. I'm just talking about this third-person perspective. Oh, go do this to move this so that we can move along in this area. I mean, it was very It was very much a, it's a path we've been down before in the gameplay wise, at least from this little section they showed us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's other parts, so I don't want to throw a judgment around just yet. But based on that, I'm like, okay, it's, in other words, the gameplay of it is tried and true.
Okay. Yeah.
You aren't doing anything new or fancy or whatever. I mean, this is a formula that works.
Yeah, but the thing about doing that is you better have something in there to make you stand out from the rest of the crowd, because there's a whole bunch of others like that.
So, well,
yeah.
You can, by having your setting or your environment or something like that kind of be a cool place to explore while you're out doing those sort of things, and maybe that's going to be here with this. I liked, look, everything else except for the gameplay, and don't get me wrong, the gameplay wasn't something I hated. I just, in watching it, I was like, all right.
Yeah, you've seen it before.
So
it's not going to be something that's going to stick out to you. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like when you see a new game and you realize the gameplay is hack and slash. You're okay with that. You're fine with that. You've done hack and slash before, but what is the story around it? What is the environments that I'm in? What are the different hack and slash powers that I have?
Mm-hmm.
You know what you're getting.
Yeah.
And I mean, I could see in the gameplay of like, all right, I know at least part of what I'm getting in this.
Mm-hmm.
Is what's the term? Not safety, but it's a thing where you just don't take chances.
No, you played it safe.
Yeah.
Just call it what it is. You played it safe on that one. So, yeah.
At least in that part. Again, we didn't see much, but at least in that part. There may be more to it as well. I like the Lethal Migraine talks about the Bayou lore. I liked the Bayou lore. I'm again, the setting, the environment, the aesthetic, the way it looked, the beauty of it, I'm all down for it. I am totally in to see more and to figure out what that story is and to go through it. I'm totally in for it. The gameplay, I was just like, okay. They're not doing so. I mean, contrast. You played a shadow and you would jump inside and out the side of shadows and move around and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It was great. We Happy Few was just far too maintenance-y for me to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Your food, your sleep, your drink, your exercise, all that just ugh.
Well, this looks like it's going to be it's a story. It's pretty much a story based game, right?
Yeah.
So,
did you watch any of this stuff?
But I've heard of South of Midnight before, so I knew it was, the gist of what it was all about. But if you're a story game, you're pretty much going to play it safe that way, but your story has to be interesting or show some elements that'll get you into the story or something like that. So if you're just showing the basic gameplay or nothing about the story, then what are we doing?
Yeah. We got a World of Warcraft, The War Within, which was interesting because I thought, is this coming out on, what are we seeing here? I have not followed World of Warcraft in a very, very, very long time. I know it still exists. I know they still make expansions for it. But I just honestly, when they started showing this trailer, I was like, all right, it's World of Warcraft. Is it coming to Xbox? Coming to Xbox Game Pass or something? What is this deal? No, it's just PC. But yeah, it's getting another expansion, August 26th, called The War Within. That's good. For those of you who still play World of Warcraft and are still in it and still love it and that sort of thing, I'm glad you have that. Great. Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater. This was really nice. In fact, I watched more. There's been like four different videos with David Hayter talking about different aspects of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched one last night that talked about, basically, this is Metal Gear Solid 3, but it is completely rebuilt in Unreal Engine 5 or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's completely redone, and there's different ways that you can play it. You can play it in the old style, kind of isometric, whatever sort of way that it was played back on the PlayStation 3. Was Snake Eater 3?
I think it was 3.
See, they're showing me that one. Okay, there's 3. What is that? PlayStation 2.
Hmm.
It came out November 17th of 2004 on the PlayStation 2. So, yeah. Seeing the different ways that you could play that game, the way that it all, just the upgrades that it had and everything else, it just looked really, really good. It really looked good. And if I'm not getting me a Splinter Cell, then I'm getting me a Snake. Solid Snake. So, I'm good for that. Be interesting to see that. I liked it. Sea of Thieves Season 13 was shown off. Good job. Flintlock, The Siege of Dawn. I think there's a demo on Steam for that right now. This description says, fusing melee weaponry and guns and a cute little fantasy fox thing, Flintlock, The Siege of Dawn showed off some of its hard-hitting gameplay, complete with some intense aerial maneuvers. It looked pretty neat and more than a little different from what we were expecting. It arrives this July. So, yeah, I would say there's probably a demo on Steam for that one, for Flintlock. I wasn't really pulled in on that one.
Especially after you'd be playing your God of War.
Yeah.
Ragnarok, so.
I think it's a... Yeah, it's not first-person shooter, whatever. Flintlock is in Game Pass, says Lethal Micro. He also says, watching all the Blizzard cinematics was cool. No, they were. Totally. As soon as I saw Diablo, I was like, I hope they don't show gameplay. I know what gameplay of Diablo looks like. All I care from Blizzard is, like, their cinematics. They do great, great cutscenes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really is nice. And so when they showed that, I was like, yep, this is good. Okay, Lethal Migraine, and he says it's a Souls-like. So yeah, there's where I'm just like, no, I'll pass. Age of Mythology Retold. It is a remake of sorts of the original 2002 game, coming out on September 4th. Interesting to see Perfect Dark show up. I was wondering what that was that we were seeing when it was playing, because I didn't know. But I loved what I was seeing, and then when they said it was Perfect Dark, I was like, I had no idea you were doing a remake of Perfect Dark. Or I don't know if it's a remake. I don't think it is. I think it's a brand new game. He says maybe, or this person who wrote this article says, maybe this will make up for there being no Deus Ex for the foreseeable future. I suppose if you want to compare those, but I compare my stealthy games to Splinter Cell. And so that'll do. I enjoyed what I saw with Perfect Dark. Sadly, there was no release date or release window. But yeah, it was really good. That was a really good presentation and a showing of what they were doing. I liked it very, very much. Diablo 4, we got a trailer for that. I think actually not a trailer. I think we got the opening cinematic for the expansion Vessel of Hatred was the name of it. Loved it. Fable got shown off as soon as it showed up. And as soon as I was like, I think this is Fable. And then it was like Hero of Albion. I was like, it's Fable. It's Fable. Loved it. We're getting more Fable. Sometime next year. Fragpunk. It's a 5v5 hero shooter, which, you know, I'm out. Not in for that.
Seen that genre before.
And a Winter Burrow. It's a cute little mouse returning home to find his place abandoned. It looks like it's a farming sim game, but yeah, I don't know. It was interesting as well. Some kind of maybe cozy thing, who knows. Mixtape. Showed off stop-motion style animation, skateboarding, and the desire to, and here's the quote, ride a flaming stallion of delinquency. With an excellent soundtrack as well for it, so says this article here. I remember that, but I remember not really being drawn in, I guess. Flight Simulator 2024 had added some stuff in there. Expansion for Elder Scrolls Online. Life is Strange, Double Exposure. Announcement for that one. Actually got some gameplay and some cinematics again from Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, which is coming out later this year. I was surprised to see a 2024 date on it. Maybe we already knew it was coming this year, but for whatever reason, I didn't think we had a date yet. So I was kind of surprised by that. But I really, really enjoyed what I saw of it, especially since it's from here on out, it's the only way I'm going to get Indiana Jones stuff. Is in gaming form, comic book form, animation form, because I mean that series is done with. So if I want more of it, it's going to have to come in other avenues.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take it in video game form. Mecha Break was another game that was shown off. It was something we saw during the Summer Games Fest, but I don't know, man. I don't do mech games. Not in the sense of, what, Armored Core type stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just, nah. Not into them. God, if I'm pronouncing this wrong, I apologize. Wu Chang, Fallen Feathers, Grotesque Monsters, Slick Sword and Axe Swinging in its trailer. Looked, it gave some Bloodborne vibes. Yep, sure did. I liked it, but it was, I remember thinking about it saying something to the effect of, I like that, but if it's Souls-like, I don't know that I'll play it. But I like what I'm seeing. But if it's going to be a Souls-like, I don't know if I'm in on that. Avowed. I'm still interested in that. It got a deep dive you can find on YouTube for a game called Avowed. It's a first-person spell casting and melee action with crossbows as well. It's Fantasy Realm. However, we found out during the deep dive of it that you can play in third person. You don't have to play in first. I like, what is that? I think that's Obsidian, right? That's working on that? So yeah, I'm good. Atomfall. This article says it's hard to describe Atomfall. Post-apocalyptic vibes meet weird fantasy realms, spooky things that live underground, and big robots. Sometime in 2025 for that game. Assassin's Creed Shadows, that was nice to see. Of course, we saw more of it at Ubisoft's presentation. We got more gameplay from it, that sort of thing. I'm in on Assassin's Creed Shadows. I like it. I like the fact that you can pick between the two that you want to go with, or at least for the most part, in some instances, you get to decide if you want to go tank with your samurai,
mm-hmm.
or if you want to go stealthy with your shinobi. You know, you got two different ways that you can tackle different things. And I'm sure they're going to work it out where you have to do, you know,
you can't always choose,
is what I'm saying. I'm sure most of them will be where you can't always choose.
Yeah, typically in something like this is going to be one has more advantages or it fits a certain person's play style.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to prefer that one over the other. So inevitably one's going to get left behind.
Yeah. Comes out November 15th. Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl. Surprised to see that. I was either looking at it going, that's either a Metro game or that's Stalker.
Mm.
And it was Stalker. Comes out September 5th of this year. We got a hardware refresh on the systems. No big deal there. And then at the very end, brand new Gears of War. It was a cinematic trailer. It's called Gears of War E-Day. Which seems to be a prequel. Emergence Day, the whole E-Day, Emergence Day thing. Mm-hmm. There was no release date or window provided there, so we have no idea. But yeah, Gears of War, they're doing a prequel for Gears. I'm fine with that. I like my Gears. And if they're going back to one, two, three, or earlier type of thing, I'm in. Mm-hmm. I'm totally in. So it'll be interesting to see that as well. That got us the end of Xbox. After that was the PC gaming show. There's so many games to talk about, man. So many games. We're going to come back and talk about those games right after this break here. We're going out to the intro music from a game. If you haven't looked this game up, if you haven't seen this game, I think it's only on PC. Oh, wait a second. It might be on Game Pass. I think it is on Game Pass. It is. It is on Game Pass. Stop motion animation, hand crafted visuals. This is not a game where you are playing something that was drawn in a computer kind of way. You are looking at the way you're playing it looks more like it is a physical thing that is moved by hand and taken a picture of, you know, stop motion animation. I mean, it legit looks like that. Talking about a game called Harold Halibut. And this is the intro music for that game. And we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from a game called No Rest for the Wicked. The track is called The King is Dead. Jumping right back into our coverage of Summer Game Fest, the E3 that ain't E3 type of thing. PC Gaming Show came on after the Xbox show. I'm not going to go over everything because there, I mean, this was a 2.5 hour show or something like that. There was just a lot. There is a lot. And you can Google these things online to find out all, you know, everything that was shown. Fallen Aces look kind of cool, and I've got an email about that, but I also have the demo. I just haven't played it. What's the other one here? Just trying to see if anything sticks out for me. Sulfur? Oh, wait, no, it's an extraction shooter. Never mind. That didn't stick out for me. Killing Floor 3 didn't stick out for me. Copa City was a reveal trailer. It's the first football tycoon game, which I thought we already had one like that. It basically is you run a stadium on game day and you have to manage your crowd, seating, advertisers, the teams, and everything else. I thought it was that kind of management I'm totally in for. Mm-hmm. You know, it gives me a little bit of a city builder, a little bit of a man type of thing to, you know, direct. I don't know. I like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I Am Your Beast. I demoed that. It is not the prettiest looking thing in the world. I like the voice work on it. It's very action oriented. So you can throw your gun, like when your gun is empty or whatever, you can throw your gun at the guy. If you hit him in the head, he throws his gun, you grab it, you shoot. That, you know, very stylistic. Slide, punch, kick, do all these really cool looking things. But man, outside of the tutorial, when I'm actually playing the game, I didn't feel anything like that. I felt confused. I felt like I was getting shot all the time. I never died, but it never came across as slick as it did in the tutorial. Mm-hmm. It never came across as slick as it did in the trailer. So, and that's my problem. Like, you can make it look as good as it can, but if I can't play it the way you make it look, I'm not going to have fun. And if it's going to take skill or me playing this over and over again to develop a way to be that way, mm-hmm. I'm probably not going to invest the time into it. It's not that I need a one button do something amazing type thing.
Sounds like it's the type of game you're going to have to practice.
Right.
Like a Dark Souls or I Am Pedro.
Yeah.
You have to practice it to get it down. The demo can only the tutorial can only tell you so much.
Let's see, what else do we get? Cataclysmo is a survival RTS. Battle Aces were shown off again. Citizen Sleeper 2 was shown off. Demon School. I probably added that to my wish list. What is Unbeatable? Rock and Rhythm Narrative Game. Odinfall. Core Keeper. No Room in Hell 2. I thought that was kind of interesting. It's, yeah. Well, I'm trying to see if anything... There had to have been more than this that pulled me in. But I'm not seeing it. Huh. Okay. I guess I just went over the entire... That seems weird. I know I added so much more to my list from that. What else we have? Ubisoft Forward. That happened on Monday. Mm-hmm. Rocksmith Plus. You don't have to have a specific guitar to do that, do you?
In this day and age, I wouldn't put it past me to say you need the Rocksmith guitar, not the Guitar Hero one. I'm thinking you need
But I don't think you need a Rocksmith guitar. I just think you need a guitar.
An actual instrument.
Guitar. Yes. Oh. Hmm. I think all you need is an peripheral. Actual guitar.
Hmm.
Thing about that is, I have a lot of guitars. I'm kind of curious about it because I know a few people who have used Rocksmith to learn to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I got guitars sitting around. Why don't I try and play them? Let's see. I'm looking at the other stuff that was shown off. Just Dance VR, Monopoly, whatever. Rainbow Six Siege, year 9? God, 9 years for Rainbow Six Siege? Jesus. Wow. 9 years of that game. Let's see, Biomorph, Battlecore Arena, For Honor, year 8. I mean, they're on 8 years of that.
Mm.
Assassin's Creed Mirage for the iPad and iPhone. Year 6 for the Division 2 was shown off. Some of these things I skipped. Mm-hmm. Star Wars Outlaws. The first time we saw Star Wars Outlaws, I don't want to say the first time. I want to say the recent update we got for Star Wars Outlaws a few months back, where it's like, hey, here's the date reveal and everything else. I looked at that and I was like, I'm not in on this. Then I watched the gameplay from Ubisoft, and I thought, all right, I might be in on this. I was kind of down for it. It's like GTA, but Star Wars. So, yeah. Lethal Migraine's throwing out games that have been around for a while. That's fine. I understand that WoW has been around since, year 20, like you said. I get that for a lot of games. It's just Rainbow Six Siege, for whatever reason, doesn't feel like a year 9. I can't believe it's been 9 years since we've had Rainbow Six Siege out and available. So, but yeah, Star Wars Outlaws was shown off. X-Defiant. It's a free-to-play arena shooter, but I have no desire to play it. Skull and Bones. Nope. You will try and sell me on Skull and Bones. It will not work. You need to go back and fix all of it. Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, some story DLC. I enjoyed that. Then they showed off Rogue Prince of Persia. Then they showed off a very, very, I don't know, 30-second trailer for Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, the remake. And you did not see anything other than just, hey, we're still working on Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time remake. That's it. That's all you got. Avatar, Frontiers of Pandora, some more DLC announced for that one. The Crew Motorfest, some more DLC announced for that one. Anno 117, Pax Romana. I need to look at the Anno games. I've got a couple of them. But I swear, I feel like they're city builders, right? Aren't they? Does anybody play Anno?
I haven't heard of the series before.
Oh, Anno? God, Anno's been around for a while.
On PC.
Yeah, yeah. So, strictly on PC, yes.
That would explain why, yeah.
Although you're going to get it on PC and console for this one next year. But I am really, really curious about Anno. I've got Anno games. I need to go back and try and play those now since I can focus on them and not Destiny. Because I'm very curious as to how they play. I feel like they're city builder type things. So I'd like to see that. What else did we get? Some Trackmania stuff. That's cool. Assassin's Creed Shadows was shown off. And, you know, I talked about it earlier. I was down for it. I'm good. You got the two different characters you can play as. You're going to approach your objectives in different ways. We talked about this already. I was good. I liked it. I really, really liked it. So, yeah, it is. It's hard to believe that so many games have been around for so long and are still going. They're still kicking. They're still making content for those games. And yes, especially WoW. Rainbow Six, honestly, I want a new Rainbow Six as much as I want a new Splinter Cell. Mm-hmm. I don't want this 4v4 Rainbow Six multiplayer thing. No, I don't want that.
But you got to understand, the games like that are the ones that's making money.
So I know.
You're going to have a copy of that.
I want my old...
What did we just talk about? Overwatch has that clone with a Fragpunk, mm-hmm. a 4v4 hero shooter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen that before.
I know.
Because it's making money. So that's the ones making money. That's what they're going to go with. It's a shame, but I know what you want out of the series, but they're listening to the money.
I know. I want me some Rainbow Six Vegas, man. I really, really liked Rainbow Six Vegas. And we got a sequel out of it, and then we didn't get anything else. Let me see if I can go over the wholesome direct. I mean, we got 10 minutes before we have to take a break here. I can... Almost everything from the wholesome direct I added to my wish list. So going over all of those, I guess I'll probably just go over what I demoed. But I was down for all of those. There's Lost and Found Company. I talked about that. God, I have all of these down. Yeah, okay. We'll save that. We'll go into that one. We'll go into all of those that I demoed coming up in the next segment. The no-shows for the Summer Game Fest. Those games that we had heard about, but we didn't get any information. This is a list from PC Gamer, but this is by no means a definitive list. There were plenty that were no-shows. Hollow Knight Silksong was a no-show, although I swear we got something about Hollow Knight just the other day. No, that was Shovel Knight. It wasn't Hollow Knight, it was Shovel Knight. Hollow Knight Silksong. Soul Calibur 7 wasn't there. Resident Evil 9 was not there. The PC port for Bloodborne, which I don't necessarily think even exists, but it was not there either. Although, what's his name for that?
Miyazaki.
Miyazaki. Miyazaki did an interview.
Yeah.
And talked about the fact that he is all for it, mm-hmm. but the decision isn't his to make.
Yeah.
That he, you know.
He said he'd be all for it, but I'd get in trouble.
For saying that. So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So basically, yeah, it is out of my hands. Talk to one of them big companies. You know the one.
Mm-hmm.
But like we said earlier, if someone wants to make a clone or something like it, or, you know, they'll find a way to do it.
Yeah, they absolutely will. Beyond Good and Evil 2 was not there. Everwild, which I don't remember when we heard about that. Oh, 2019 and then in 2020, but it's been a while since we've heard from that. Beyond Good and Evil 2, I don't even know if that's still a thing. Who knows? We also didn't get Splinter Cell.
Mm.
Didn't get a new Halo game. I guess we would have, but like nothing. I mean, there was not even anything announced, I think, for any of the stuff for Halo whatsoever. Multiplayer stuff or not, there was nothing announced there. I mentioned that because Lethal Migrant just brought up Xbox there. Mm-hmm. There was another game that I was interested in hearing more about because the last time I saw anything about it was last year at the Summer Games Fest, Novalis. It is made by the same people who made the game Cloudpunk. In fact, the game takes place within the city of Cloud, or the universe of Cloudpunk. Mm-hmm. And I really, really like that. Although there was something else that was shown off, and did I add it to my wish list? Probably. Oh God, now I have to go and look through all of it to find it. It's very future punk type thing, very cyberpunkish, not cyberpunk the game, but just cyberpunk the aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember what it was called. Because you play as a detective.
A cyberpunk detective?
Yeah. And I cannot. I'm looking through it. Is that it? That's not going to. See, I wish a little thing would pop up that would show me, because as soon as I can see it, I would be able to tell you that's the one I'm thinking of. But I am not seeing it anywhere in my list. Actually, it may be there, but I am not recognizing the title.
Mm.
And I really wish I could. Well, you know what? I could just go. Can I access my wish list? I sure can. I can access my wish list on this thing. Let's see. Date added. That's a good way to look at it. There we go. Now I'm there with you. Oh, man. We got some really cool looking games here that I need to check out.
You did say you put a whole bunch on your list, Bob, based off these events.
I did. I added so many. So many games. Nobody Wants to Die. That's the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody Wants to Die. It is coming out July 17th of this year. Thing looks amazing. Developers, Critical Hit Games. What else have they done? Absolutely nothing. It's their first game. Yeah. I'm down for that one. Nobody Wants to Die. Take a look at that if you're curious about it, but that thing looks really, really good. So, I guess I could use my... You know what? It'll be easier for me to go through my wish list and tell you what I've been doing than it will be anything else. And to tell you what I added and why I added it. Oh, man. It's fantastic. This is a much better way of doing things. All right, so yeah, we'll take a break, and then we'll go over all these games that I played. Was there anything else on the list of news that I wanted to jump into? Yeah, Xbox, according to Phil Spencer, they really, really, really want to do a portable console. Microsoft does. I'll go over this one here. It's from Kotaku that says, 9 things we learned from the Xbox interview with Phil Spencer that IGN did. Why Doom the Dark Ages is launching not only on Xbox, but also PS5. Spencer says it's because Doom is a series that has a history on so many devices, and it's a franchise that I think everybody deserves to play. And to be honest, I was in a meeting with the executive producer from id Entertainment and the team a couple of years ago, and I asked them what he wanted to do, and he said he wanted to ship it on all platforms. I said, okay, we're going to do that. It was as simple as that. He said that Phil Spencer said closing Tango Gameworks was done to keep Xbox sustainable. This article here says, while I wish IGN had spent more time drilling Spencer about all the recent layoffs and studio closures, the interview did touch on the subject for a bit. And his answer was about as corporate-y as you would expect. The Xbox boss says that closing any studio is hard on the team, but he says that ultimately he has to run a sustainable business and grow. So sometimes that means he has to make these hard decisions. Sometimes I have to make hard decisions that frankly are not decisions I love, but decisions that somebody needs to go make. We will continue to go forward. We will continue to invest in what we're trying to do or to go do in Xbox and build the best business that we can, which ensures we can continue to do shows like the one we just did. Yeah, sustainable. Good joke, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, Lethal Migrant says, 9 things from that? He talked in circles. Yeah, I know. For a long time during the era of Xbox 360 and even Xbox One, it seemed like Xbox only had 4 big franchises to lean on. People used to joke about it all the time, and Spencer admits that, yeah, for a long time, they didn't really have a diverse lineup of first-party games. It used to be Fable, Forza, Gears, and Halo. And every 4 years, I'd have to come to E3, and I'd somehow try to make those 4 games seem different every year for the community. Now, what we have in gaming is just an amazing collection of teams and franchises that are doing great work. Game Pass is up double digits, he says. PC is growing really well. Cloud is growing really well. I mean, he's not going to come back and say, yeah, Game Pass was kind of crap this year and didn't really make any money off of it, but we're going to try and turn it around. you're not. And on a published interview, you're not going to get the kind of answers you're probably going to want.
You're not getting the truth, folks. Let's just...
And I don't care how hard you hit him. I don't care how hard IGN throws this stuff at him. You're probably not going to get the answers you want out of him, or whatever answers you're trying to get. When asked if he had recently seen or played an early build of Elder Scrolls 6, he dodged the question and responded, "I'll refrain from comment." That seems to imply that, yeah, he's probably seen or maybe even played a bit of Elder Scrolls 6. Buying Activision wasn't just expensive, it was also a lot of work. Spencer says, "It's my fault as the head of the business. I didn't really internalize that at the beginning of what a drain that would be on the team. For the management team, even our lead lawyer at Xbox, we all had our same job of running Xbox and doing the things that we needed to go do. But then we actually added this second job in the time of having to work through regulatory. He had plans for if the deal had died, adding that there were dark days when it seemed like it wasn't going to happen. When the CMA came out and said, no, this isn't going to go through, and the drag on the team at Activision, Blizzard, and King, they were dealing with this uncertainty. So it's so nice to have it behind us, and now we can just focus on building great games together. Of course, there were layoffs after that. What else? And then the handheld thing. IGN asked Spencer about the long-rumored Xbox handheld, as you might expect. The CEO was tight-lipped about it, didn't reveal anything or confirm its existence. However, when asked if a theoretical Xbox handheld would require an internet connection similar to some other devices, Spencer seemed to offer a possible nugget of info about the still-not-confirmed Xbox handheld. "I'll put it this way," he said. "I like my Lenovo Legion Go, fantastic. My Steam Deck. I think being able to play games locally is really important," Spencer said. And that's what they're running on, is that, yeah, they're probably making one, because he seems really interested in handhelds. So, there you go. what else? Anything else that I wanted to jump into before we go over like a ton of demos? I'll tell you, there's something from GameSpot here that talks about the 25 Steam NextFest demos that you need to download right now. And so we'll definitely talk about that. So yeah, that is all coming up on the other side of this break. When we go to break here, we are going out on a game called Sticky Business. I don't exactly know what that game's about, but it's called Sticky Business. This is the main theme for it. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music from a game called Hammerwatch 2. Thieves Tower is the name of that one.
Hammerwatch.
Hammerwatch. I don't know. It's on the list of new games that released, and it had music, so I grabbed it. Alright, let's go down some, wish lists and some Steam things and demos and things. These are games that are not only going to be on PC, some of these will probably end up being on console, but we don't know yet. Tricky Madness, which I already talked about, had the demo there. There was another game called Goodbye Seoul, and Seoul being Seoul, South Korea, I guess. Is that where that's Seoul?
S-E-O-U-L?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is interesting because when you fire it up, the title screen is not called Goodbye Seoul. It's called something else. And I think it's called Chasing... I can't remember what it's called. But it definitely did not have the title Goodbye Seoul in it. Which I thought was interesting as you play the demo. The demo, it is... think of Limbo or Inside. Mainly think of Inside, which is the same team that did Limbo.
Yeah.
It's a side-scroller. It is pixel characters, but in very, very well-looking 3D environments. Mm-hmm. But you're still just side-scrolling. It's kind of a bit of a 2D type thing because it does some different perspective things. It's all about puzzles, and I say puzzles, but, you know, getting from one side of the screen to the other side of the screen kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's really good. I absolutely enjoyed it. It was very quick to play, but I did like it. Mm-hmm. And it's a game I would easily pick up. I added Tears of Metal to my wish list. Deer and Boy, I didn't play any. These are things I haven't played. Unknown Nine, Awakening. Inotria, The Last Song. The First Descendant. Battle Aces. Simpler Times. Cairn. Pedal Runner. Kiora. Arranger, which I have not yet played. I do have the demo for it. Fear the Spotlight. That is the one from Blumhouse. I added it, but I'm probably not going to play that. Zookosis is another one that I added, but I'm probably not going to play it. Mm. Psychroma, there is a demo available for it now. I need to play that. It's probably one I will play tomorrow. Hello Again, Tom the Post Girl, Phoenix Springs, Tenjutsu, Possessors, The Talos Principle 2 Road to Elysium, that came out just yesterday, I think. That's the DLC for Talos Principle 2.
Got that downloaded already?
I don't know. No, it's $20. I haven't jumped in on it yet.
Okay.
Kunitsugami, Path of the Goddess, that's from Capcom. Yeah. Sonic X Shadow Generations. I like the gameplay on that. I know you're not a Generations guy, but I really enjoyed that. Be fun to play. Black Myth Wukong, Sid Meier's, Meier's Civilization 7, I think is where we're at. Screenbound, UFO 50. None of these have demos. A Little to the Left, Seeing Stars. Lock Digital, L-O-K Digital. This feels like it's a game that probably already exists. A couple of these demos, a good number of these demos that I keep firing up give a very, very... You started out as an app on a phone, and now you're on my PC. Lock Digital is one of those.
Yeah.
I liked it. It's a interesting word game thing. And I'm sure it gets more robust because it introduces you into one word that you have to spell out of a bunch of different stuff on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Then they introduced you to another word that you can also spell. And the whole point is to turn all the tiles black. Mm-hmm. That have the letters on them when you're doing that. And but the way that you have to line those up and make those connect and that sort of thing to do that is where the puzzling part of it is. Mm-hmm. And I imagine they throw more words at you that have more abilities. Like when you spell a word, you get an ability.
Mm-hmm.
And when you spell a different word, you get two of that ability or something. I can't remember what it was, but it's all right. Not the kind of word puzzler that I was hoping for, but it was okay. Croakwood, I mentioned that I added that. Rika, which I did do a demo of. Airborne Empire, made by the same guys that did Airborne Kingdom, but I have not played Airborne Empire. Dungeon Clawler It's a claw game in a roguelike situation, I think. I haven't played it. I do have the demo, but I have not played it yet. Node is another one. It's a puzzle platformer, atmospheric. I have not played a demo for it. Copycat, I have not played a demo for. Light Odyssey. Retro Gadgets, that seemed really cool. Basically, you just repair old electronics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Rose and Locket, I played that today. It's a single-player platformer. It said, hey, this game plays great with a controller. So I plugged my controller in, and it didn't work. I had to use keyboard and mouse.
Hmm.
It's hard to describe how that game is. It is a platformer. I enjoyed the art style of it. There is a demo for it on PC. It's a very quick demo and gives you a good idea of how it all works. But yeah. Mythmatch, which we already talked about. Caravan Sandwich. It's an exploration game, interactive fiction, single player as well. Apparently there's no fall damage because I was just jumping off of very high things because I was in a hurry to get back to where I was, you know, it was like, I don't need to go back. Can I fall? And I would fall. And it's like, yeah, you're fine.
Yeah.
They did not care.
That, I mean, lack of fall damage changes a whole bunch of stuff in a lot of games. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it was Borderlands when they took there was something that said there's no fall damage here, so you can jump off if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on top of a tower, like hundreds of feet above the ground, saying, "Oh, you can just jump off, you'll be fine." Jumped off, no health damage. I'm like, "Oh, this is awesome, man." They should do this more often. No fall damage. Oh,
yeah. It's hard to kind of explain what Caravan Sandwich is because, like, you've got a vehicle that moves you around the map. It's kind of open world in that regard, but you're going around and collecting all these little electronic parts. They're not specific. You see a green glowing thing off in the distance, or as you're driving by, you get out of your van, you walk up to it, you press thing, you have electronic. Boom. Mm-hmm. Get back in your van and go.
Yeah.
And you're repairing like satellites to move on into the world. There's this giant storm way out in the distance, and I mean massive, that apparently you're moving towards. And
Thunderstorm. Yeah. Okay.
Like hurricane-ish, like, oh, okay. I mean, it's massive.
Mm-hmm.
The look of it was good. The exploration was all right. I mean, maybe there's more to it. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I was not terribly convinced. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't one of those. It wasn't like Cato or Desvelado where it's like, oh man, this is great. I'm totally in.
Mm-hmm.
Like I caught on what you were doing right then.
Mm-hmm.
And I was down for what you were doing. So, yeah. Tiny Bookshop, I added. Ete, I added. These are games that I have not played. Discounty, which is a life sim with pixel graphics and an RPG. Rooster was another one. Point and click. Relaxing, wholesome. Into the Emberlands. Squeak Ross, Home Squeak Home, was a puzzle about a little mouse that you control. Critter Cafe was a life sim, casual exploration. A lot of these came from the Wholesome Game reveal stuff. Garden of the Sea, Fantastic Haven, Crab God, Illa, A Frosty Glide. I think you play as a witch who has a broom, and you can move around on your broom that way.
Hmm.
And it's very light. It's platformer exploration. Cute, casual. Sally was another one that is a life sim, wholesome, nature, fantasy, casual. Pine. I played Pine this morning. The full title of Pine is Pine, A Story of Loss. Which means you're already getting into some heavy stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
Pine is asking a lot of the player. And I mean a lot. But you need to press on with it.
Hmm.
You start out doing these like mundane type tasks.
Yeah.
You're just a guy out in the... He's got a cabin out in the woods. And looks like it's hand-drawn animation.
Mm-hmm.
You go out, you chop wood, and all you have to do on chopping wood when you're doing it is move your mouse in the direction that it tells you. So when you're chopping wood, you go from top to bottom, and he swipes down. You do this over and over again. You get the wood, you go back to your house. Then, and then the thing came up and said, hey, it's spring. And I'm like, okay, we're in spring. He sits outside his house. You have three objects you can click on. One to gather your vegetables from your garden, one to water your vegetables in your garden, and one to collect hay to improve your roof on your house, because your house has hay on it. Mm-hmm. Every now and again, he'll remember, I think, his wife or his girlfriend, who obviously is not there anymore. Mm-hmm. But he'll have memories of her. But you have to do this three-click button thing, the water, the collection, the roof. Water, over, over, and over, and over, and over. And I'm not kidding by how many times I just said that.
Sounds like what happens when you lose a loved one. You try the mundane process of doing the same thing over and over again to just a function. Because if you don't have that, you're just gonna collide. And I kept
doing it because I was like, all right, we're moving the story along. But at some point, I was like, man, I wish they would let you at least skip the animation of him grabbing the wheelbarrow, walking out to the wheat field. You get different angles. I mean, but it just over and over and over.
That sounds like that's the point. Sounds like that's the point of the game. That's what I was trying to say.
Maybe
that's the point. Yeah,
but I think it's asking a lot of its players, especially in the demo. Yeah. It's asking a lot of its players to go through that.
Yeah,
I liked it. There was this neat little wood carving thing that happened towards the end that I really kind of enjoyed. Mm-hmm. But I think it's
something to break the monotony.
It was. Yes. It was, but you had to get through. That was towards the end of the demo. You had to get through all that stuff.
To get through the mundane, to get to something that gives you life again. And I think that's what this, from what you're describing, sounds like. What that's the message that the game is trying to give you.
We got Dungeons of Hinterberg, which I've downloaded but I haven't played. Free Ride, that's another one that I've downloaded and haven't played. Lost and Found Company, we talked about that. Little Lands, I haven't messed around with that, but I do have the demo. Minami Lane. A game called Pool. It's got four O's in between the P and the L. I'm not sure.
Or billiards?
It's billiards. Mm. Yeah. Okay. Billiards. Pool.
Water billiards.
Tiny Lands 2. Rolling Hills was another one. Make Sushi, Make Friends. On Your Tail. Spilled. I played Spilled this morning. Mm-hmm. You asked me a question during the commercial break there about, like, you ever have a game where you start type sort of thing? When you open up Spilled's demo, The title screen pops up. Before you actually play it, this little looping video shows up of the creator of the game. It's a woman who's doing, she just decided, and she says in, or she doesn't say it, but in the text there, you're like, I am a sole developer. I quit my job, or I quit whatever it was, and now I'm focused on my dream of making my first game. Mm-hmm. She lives on a boathouse. This game is about a boat that goes and picks up little oil spills that are in the water, and it kind of clears the water as you clean.
Yeah.
And then as you do that, this little box of gunk fills up on your ship. You go and you drop it off. You earn money. Mm-hmm. You can take that and then go buy a bigger box that holds your gunk so you don't have to turn in so much. Mm-hmm. Not only that, you can also buy upgrades to the collector in front of your boat to make it bigger, so you're collecting more.
Yeah, upgrade your boat.
Yeah, so it's all about upgrading, and you get bigger places and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It was just interesting, that video. Like, there she is. She says, I'm living off of savings and part-time work, and I'm making my first game. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, that's great. That's fantastic. It's one of those things, like, good. I'm glad you're doing that. I'm glad you decided to take that chance and make it happen. Mm-hmm. And I really hope it works out for him. Albatross was another one. Magical Bakery, Sopa, Cats, Goblin Cleanup. A game called I Was Lost. It's minimalist strategy, abstract. This looked like a cell phone, iPad type game that was ported over to PC, and it was very hard to follow. I don't know if the instructions, the directions on how this whole thing, what I'm supposed to do, was not very clear. That's the other thing. You may have a demo, but if you can't explain how to play your game in your demo, it's not going to make me want to play your game. When I got to the second level, the screen was all screwed up. Like, I could see my main gameplay screen, but all the other things in the first level, like restart or menu or all this, were like halfway cut off on the screen. Like, the aspect ratio had completely changed.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, this is janky and I don't know what I'm doing. So I quit it. I played like 1 minute and I was done. Mm-hmm. I was like, I got other games. I'm not going to get into this. I'm trying to go through, because we're just running out of time. Hidden in My Paradise. It's another object finder, hidden object game, but this one I did not like at all. Compared to That other one I talked about, Lost, what was it? Lost Company or whatever it was. Yeah, Lost and Found Company.
Lost and Found Company, yeah.
Compared to Lost and Found Company, man, Lost and Found Company has that beat. And I was not, I was not interested. Was there anything there? Obviously, there was. Desvelado, I talked about. Century of Anticipation, I have that. The Midnight Crimes, I have that one as well. Super Farming Boy. Oh, man, there's a lot. There is a lot, and I still have not played. God, it's amazing how much of this I have not played. Parcel Corpse, I talked to you about. Ooh, The Operator. Okay, I got like 6 minutes. Let me make sure there's nothing else here I really wanted to hit, but The Operator, I do want to talk about. I'm going through here real quick to let you know. Yeah, Kato, we already talked about that. All right, The Operator. This was cool. You fire up the game and there's this weird intro where it's like you're being interrogated. That intro doesn't last long before you're plopped down in front of a computer screen. The whole game seems to take place in front of a computer screen. It's very much like Orwell, if you've played that or not. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Basically, you're working for the FBI. They're called something else in this game so that they're not the actual FBI, but you're working for the FBI. There's agents out in the field. It takes place somewhere in the 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
So agents will call back to you and say, hey, here's what I've got on this person. What can you find out? And you've got a database where you can type in that person's name and get a bunch of information, send that back to him, try to find the connection. The first thing I did, there was a murder in a bar, and they had some CCTV video that they sent to my desk, and I'm looking at it. It's all blurry and stuff. I can't do the enhancement thing, but
it's the 90s.
Yeah, I know. You can click on their picture, and it'll like zoom in on the face and say, this is so-and-so. Then you type in the name, you get some info. Then I tried to do it with the guy who came in and shot the dude, but it wouldn't give me anything. But there was a car outside. The door was open. I clicked on that. It got the license plate, found out who the guy was. I'm giving all this information to the
detective. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those kind of things. And I loved every bit of it.
Yeah. So basically your information.
Yeah.
For the law enforcement agency.
Yeah. Yeah. You get to snoop around and figure out who these people are.
Yeah.
And I just absolutely enjoyed every second of it.
So if you got a good eye for detail, and think about things to look for.
It was really good. Yeah. It was really, really good. It also, oddly enough, one of the first times I've ever seen a demo come with its own achievements. There were three achievements for this game, for this demo.
Hmm.
I don't remember what the first one was. The third,
I'm guessing finding all the information you can.
No, probably. The first one I think is one that you get pretty easily when you start the game.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is just click on 100 things. And that's easy for you to do because there's a lot to click on when you're playing this game.
Okay.
It's easy to do that. You don't have to just sit there and click 100 times. You click on I played this demo all the way through and I got all three, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one is basically just finish the demo.
Okay.
It's not very long, but it really gives you the idea of what it is with a little bit of that interrogation at the beginning was a little odd. Like something feels off with that. And I'm kind of intrigued as to where that's going.
Mm.
But man, I loved it. I really, really enjoyed it. It gave me an Orwell feeling, but not overly serious like Orwell is.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I really liked it.
Was it is Orwell heavily detailed?
No.
No? Okay.
Very minimalist. Mm. So is this, because it's basically a computer screen that you look at the entire time almost.
Because I'm thinking something along the lines of a game that's similar to this, another version that comes out afterwards, more toned down, easier to get into, not as unforgiving as the one it's based on, something like that. That's happened before.
Yeah, if you like any of those that I've said, you can go to my page on Steam and see all my games that I've wishlisted and that sort of thing, and get an idea. Or, like I said, just check out Kato, Desvelado, Lost and Found Company, and I'm leaving a few out. The Operator's another one. But, those were some really good demos that I played. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm going to play some more tomorrow. So that I'll be talking about next week. I don't know how long these demos are going to last. I've been down this road of Next Fest before, and eventually those play buttons where you've downloaded the demo turn into purchase buttons. And the demo's no longer there. You have to buy the game if you want to play it. So just keep that in mind. You need to grab these quick. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate it. We got to run. We're going to come back next week and do this all over again to tell you more about the games that we played and just catch back up with everything else. So join us then. This is music from Iyuden Chronicle? 100 Heroes Village is the name of the track. So enjoy that. Have a great one. We'll see you next Saturday.